Couple years down the road, you get really into boats.
Boats.
Yeah. Starts a little bass boat. Got an Evinrude two-stroke. Sends you flying across lakes, ponds, Gulf of Mexico, anywhere you can get out onto the water with your little boat. You do it. It's the activity that dominates your life. You wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. You're on all the boat forums,
Like
right?
what are the like what boat forums?
Hotboats.net. You're on hotboats.net, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you're on hot boats. It's every thread is somebody posting a picture of their boat, and regardless of what it looks like, everybody's like, hot boat, bro. It's a very supportive website.
Okay.
You know, and
What's
it
my
gets, you know, it gets
what?
deep sometimes. Some people post, you know, real thoughts and real feelings. It's a place where they go to meet and, you know, express themselves and fellowship, you know, on the
Okay,
internet.
that's interesting. What's my username?
Matt, your username is Wind Where My Hair Was.
Oh my.
And your profile picture is your bald head just blocking out the sun as it peaks over the horizon. It's like a Pat, it's like you're a, it's like an eclipse, but you're fucking your
Oh
bald head,
man.
right?
Oh man.
They say that if
Why?
you stare at that photo for long enough, you'll fucking go blind. Just like a real eclipse.
Who's they?
I don't know, scientists, doctors, the government. So you get really into boats, right?
Okay.
Every weekend you're out, right? You've got a fucking little you got a little hitch put on your fucking Ford Fiesta, right?
Yeah.
You're hauling this motherfucker all over the place. And within a year, you have basically spent all of your waking time getting out, getting on the lake, you're fishing, you're enjoying nature. You just love hearing that little two stroke. You love hearing each one of those strokes over and over again as you glide across the waterways of Texas.
Okay, it's kind of cool.
It is. And you know, you decide that you love boats, and that's what you're gonna do with your life. So you take out a loan, right? You buy a couple
Okay.
more. You've been fishing all over Texas now for a few years, and you think you've got it pretty nailed down, and you've got a system in place where you can make some money doing this thing.
Really?
Oh yeah. Now, most commercial fishing, you know, it happens in like very large bodies of water, and that if it's like fish that are being hunted, you know, most of it's fish farms. But you're not fishing because you want to fish. You're fishing because you just want to be out in that fucking boat, dude. You want to
Really?
feel the wind where your hair was.
Oh God. Oh God. Yeah, okay.
You get three boats. You decide to hire five crewmen. Each of you are going to work in pairs of two. And you're going to pull all the fucking fish you can out of the water in the state of Texas.
I have three boats.
You have three boats.
What are their names?
The three boats are called Lewis, the 69th. Just for an obvious reason, you know.
Lewis
There's one of them
the
that's called A Lonely Daydream. That's the one that you write on.
Oh
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
The lonely daydream.
Yeah, The Lonely Daydream. The back, it's a picture of
Wow.
you And like you've tucked your penis and balls through your legs, and you're like laying down on like a golden like velvet couch,
Oh my
and you're laying
gosh.
there with your whole body out, and then over that in like fucking bold like bank type, it says "The Lonely Daydream" in brilliant gold. It's iridescent. But you think that that's part of your secret. Is that the gold that glitters off the back of your boat goes right into the water, and you think it makes the fish go crazy for you? Like they're following you, and you can feel them
Jeez.
behind you. And there's every time you go out fishing and you're having a good day, there's a brief moment you have where you think, they know where I am, they know where I'm going.
Huh.
But you just love being out on that fucking boat, man.
What's the third boat's name?
Oh, the third boat is
The
called
Lonely Daydream.
The Lonely
Ugh.
Daydream. The third one is called Guts. So you're out there fucking on, you're out there, you're fishing at a lake. It's called the Lanalax Public Lake. It's a pretty busy lake most of the time, right?
Is this in Austin?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty busy lake most of the time. It's again public. It's pay to park, you know, but it's worth it to you. So you back your fucking three boats in the water and you just go out fishing, right?
Lewis is King Lewis the 69th, Guts, and the Lonely Daydream.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The three of you all go out in different directions. You know, you're setting nets. You get lines in the water, right? You're having a good time with it. You're just out there to have fun, be out there on that fucking boat, make a little money, put some cash in your pocket. Who's getting hurt here?
Hey, this sounds kind of nice. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, it's interesting that I got this, that this is where my life is, was there something that kind of made me kind of get into this lifestyle change? Because this is kind of a big change than what I would normally do.
Yeah, you watch that show Thunder in Paradise, that Hulk Hogan show where he's like a cop on a speedboat. You got really into that and you were like, this is what I want to fucking, I want to be on the, I want this for me, you know? And you realize that you recognize that your version wasn't going to be like a lawman. That's not who you are, but that
No.
you really just wanted to go out and feel alive, just skimming across the surface, that little two stroke, just stroking off in your fucking ear.
Oh. What
And then
the
it grew from there, you know? You got the fleet. You guys are
Yeah.
out fishing. It
Okay.
becomes a daily thing. You're paying people. You're making a real run at it. And you're pretty good at it. You think, hey, you know, it might take a year. It might take two. But this thing is going to get figured out and it's going to be profitable. And it's going to be something that you feel is fulfilling and puts you out there on that fucking boat. So you're like, you know, bouncing around, just cleaning places out. You know what I mean? Just cleaning them out. Honestly, the first 6 months, you wreck a couple of ecosystems. It takes
Holy shit.
decades to recover, right?
Wow.
Yeah, and people are not happy, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, you really find your stride, you know? About 6 months in, you've added a fourth boat called Lucky Lisa's Lips. And there's a big fucking pouty pair of lips painted on the back.
That sucks. That sucks. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cool, but yeah.
I mean, you got a good deal on the
Ugh.
boat, so you know what I
I
mean?
mean,
Like,
that's hilarious. I would love to
yeah.
have a boat like that. I mean, that's
And a
hilarious. I mean,
seaman never changes the name of his boat. It's bad luck.
oh.
So you add another boat. You add a couple more crew, right? Another 6 months go by. You guys are doing You traded in all those boats for bigger boats that can haul more fish. And you're just cleaning places out again,
Yeah.
really wrecking shop.
No mercy.
But every day you're on that fucking boat. Finally, it's a Saturday, right? You've really been burning the candle at both ends, and you said, hey, I'm taking this weekend off. I'm getting on the boat. Said, I'm going to go home.
Okay.
There's a little spot, a little lake that I never really got a chance to fish at because I wasn't into it when I was living there. And you're like, maybe I want to connect. I want to connect these two parts of myself together. And the best way to do that is ripping ass across a lake in a suburb.
I'm
So
sorry,
by God, that's what you're going to do.
this is where, Aaron? I'm sorry.
So you go home.
Okay, back to Northern Virginia.
Yeah. You
Oh,
drive
wow.
back. You've got your fucking your little bass boat, your original boat. Betty Lou. That's who. That's what it's named. You got Betty
Oof.
Lou, that's who, hitched up to your fucking Ford Fiesta. You drive home. Drive to the hamlet.
Yeah, Burnhamwood
Burnham Wood
Drive.
Drive. You take a spin through the old neighborhood, just make sure everything's all right. The sun starts to set on the horizon.
You know, there is a specific place I would go to.
You go straight there.
It would be there is a small park that we called Kelly Park when we were kids because someone wrote like Kelly in the cement or whatever and it dried. So yeah, I don't know what the park is called. I still in my brain think of it as Kelly Park, but
So you
I
go to
went there.
Kelly Park.
Last time I went there in real life was like years ago, and I was like
Yeah.
a grown man, and I went there and kind of like stood there, and like everybody just like looked at me, and I felt strange and left immediately.
You think about that time and
Yeah, it's humiliating.
you think I'm gonna own this. I'm not gonna let that be my vision of Kelly Park. So you whip that fucking Ford Fiesta around the hamlet. Betty Lou, that's who in tow.
Yeah.
Tipping over. She rides on one wheel. Did you take a corner too fast? You look back as she kind of lands back on the right wheel, and a smile comes across your face. You get to Kelly Park. It's the last gasp of the day, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty soon,
Yeah.
you're not going to be able to see your hand in front of your face if the lights don't come on.
Yeah.
You back Betty Lou into the pond at Kelly Park. You get in, you paddle out to the center of the pond. And you look back at the shore where you once felt dominated by others, sense of shame. A moment that has stuck with you for who knows how many years.
Very long time, yeah. Well, no, probably like, yeah, 5 years, 6 years. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, long time.
A long time.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you kind of like chuckle to yourself, that Pat. And you think if that Pat could see this Pat, he'd be proud of me now.
Okay.
You got a little spin caster in the boat with you.
Yeah.
You got a little lure on the end, little mirrored thing, little jig. You throw it out into the water, and you kind of look a ways. You're like, it looks funny out there. It looks like you kind of paddle out. And you see where there's basically a vortex in the middle of the lake. And you look down, you kind of like peer over the edge, and it's just straight down.
Holy shit.
You
Oh,
can't see the
man.
bottom of it.
Wow. That's not good.
You paddle away. It doesn't suck you in, but it is a current that you have to struggle against in order to get free of it.
Wow. Okay.
As you do that, you're kind of like fighting against this swirl, you know, and you kind of go along with it. And the next thing you know, your lure drops into the fucking right into the vortex. And you feel a tug on the line. You spend another 90 seconds struggling to kind of get out of this current that you're in, so close to the vortex. And once you're kind of free of it, you're like, oh, fuck, I have a fish on the line. And you pull out the most beautiful striped bass you've ever seen in your life. It's like 12 pounds. If you knew anybody, they'd say, hey, that's probably like a state record, but you don't know anybody. You're just out there on your own, right? You're doing this because you love it, because it's serene and you're out there on that fucking boat.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's kind of cool. That's really cool, actually.
So you usually catch and release. But this fish, you're like, I'm keeping you, motherfucker. I'm keeping you're coming home with me. I'm gonna stuff you and you're gonna be on my wall. You know, like you're keeping this one. You pull the jig out of its mouth, kind of look back at the vortex. You kind of shrug to yourself and you look at the fish flopping, just dying in its last moments of life. It's just
Yeah.
suffocating. You look at him and you go, you got any friends down there, buddy? And then it dies.
Okay. Wow.
You send that jig back into the vortex. Next thing you know, an even harder fish, an even harder pull. This thing's got to be every bit of 13 and a half pounds. Takes you 8 minutes to pull it in.
Jeez.
You spend the next 2.5 hours pulling in monster fish after monster fish out of this vortex with ease, with no effort at all. You take home like 20 of them, right? You're gonna cut them up, you're gonna fillet them, you're gonna eat them, right? This
Okay.
is what you do. You're gonna cook this fish. You get home and your shop is like at your house, you know, you got all the trucks out there, all four of them. Pardon me, the boats. I don't know why I call them trucks. Trucks of the sea, as they call them.
Who calls them that?
The crew call them that. They all got horns. They got like CB radios.
My crew refers to my fleet as trucks of the sea.
Yeah, because you hire exclusively truck drivers to be your to work on boats with you.
Why?
You just have this
What?
idea that they're used to being like you know, in traffic and that they're going to be good navigators and you know,
Are they?
usually you guys operate on like pretty tight quarters so that you kind of value that's what you value in somebody who's going to like captain a boat for you.
I mean, are they good?
I mean, yeah, most of them are good. Most of them are pretty good, but you know, it's nobody's perfect, you know.
Sure. Okay,
It,
so
it's a
I guess.
functional operation. It could be better. Fuck, 100%, it could be,
Right.
but it's still pretty good.
But they keep the lonesome daydream moving.
Oh yeah, the
Okay.
keeper glittering across the water, fish aggressively in tow, as previously mentioned.
They all have CP ready.
So you're looking at that vortex, right? You go home, you're cleaning these fucking fish. Fish guts everywhere, you know, there's scales everywhere. It's fucking gross. But you're doing it. And you look out on the concrete pad and you see all four boats trailered up, ready to be pulled out the next day. And you look down at the sink and you see the water swirl clockwise. The same direction, same speed as it did in that fucking vortex. You look back at the boats and back at the vortex, and you raise your head, and you fucking smile. You jack off for the first time in weeks. You've been pretty busy lately. You haven't been making a lot of time for you, but the
Oh,
idea that
oh.
you had gets your dick rock hard
Okay. And I jack off for the first time.
in
Wow.
weeks, brother.
That is the I feel like the implication is something really gross.
You wake up the next morning, almost leap out of bed, pep in your step. You get ready, you're whistling, you're making coffee, you're up like an hour early, you're ready for the day.
Wow.
Crew shows up and you say, "Hey, we're going to Kelly Park." They all came with you.
My pit crew.
Yeah. So they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna go to the spot on Kelly Park."
Okay. I bring some
So
coffee with me for sure.
all of your boats are loaded up there. And you go to the vortex and you pull your little spin caster out. And you say, "I was out here yesterday just minding my own business." And you pull like a fucking 14-pound fish out of there, right?
Wow.
Everybody just kind of looks at you and laughs. And you said, "I was just doing a little fishing here, this little hole." Throw your jig back in, like a 12-pound bass comes out, right?
Okay.
You're just pulling them in. You talk for 90 seconds and you've got six fish in your boat. And they're all 10 plus pounds. They're giant. And you say, you look at your longest tenured employee, Miranda Cutcliffe.
Miranda what?
Cutcliffe?
Miranda Cutcliffe. That's kind of what I thought you said.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah. She actually did slice a boy named Cliff in junior high. It was a science class.
Wait, that's her name, and that's what she
Yeah.
ended up doing? Like
Yeah.
a pro her
Yeah.
name is a prophecy?
I mean, I don't know if about that, but they were dissecting a worm in science class. And this kid, Cliff Dungeon, was like getting a little, handsy, and she fucking had an X-Acto knife.
Wow.
She sliced him right underneath his right eye.
Cliff Dungeon.
He never touched a woman again.
Ever?
Learned his lesson.
All right. Just in general, he never.
Oh yeah, he never did. It terrified him forever.
Oh, okay.
He's not well. But you say, you look at her and you say, "Drop your net in the hole."
Yeah.
And she's like, "What are you talking about?" You're like, "Drop the net in."
Yeah.
She kind of
Trust
rolls
me.
her eyes. You'd say that.
Roll your eyes. Did you just I just pulled in a six fucking fish in 90 seconds. What how what?
She
There's a
thinks it's you,
vortex.
right? So she goes, "Okay, here we go." She goes, "This thing's tied down, but if we lose it, it's not my fault."
Okay.
And she throws the fish in. And you're kind of watching as like the line just kind of sits there, and then all of a sudden it gets like slack and like it gets tight, it's taut. It pulls the boat closer to the vortex, and you're like, "Get the fuck out of there." And
Yeah.
these boats are no joke. She hits the gas, pulls the net out, and it is full of some of the biggest fish you will ever see in your whole fucking life. Biggest bass.
Miranda, fuck
Right?
yes.
And you're like, "Get those on the boat." So she gets them on the boat. And you look at everybody and you go, "Everybody put your nets in."
Oh, we're gonna
All
decimate
four
this.
boats.
Yeah, fuck.
All four boats. You guys are just pulling up net after net full of beautiful fish.
I forgot I was like ruthless as fuck.
You do this for like 3 weeks, every day, all day. And you eventually
Wow.
like bring in like a container service to like get these fucking fish out of here and processed. And you're like selling them off in bulk. And you become like the number one commercial fish provider in the entire fucking world.
My God.
You are catching and selling more fish than anybody can possibly imagine. And people are out there protesting it, but you're like, "It's a public lake. It's a public
But
lake. What are you going to do about it?"
no one else is going. I have exclusive rights to fish
Nobody really
there.
just wants to fuck with it. And it's kind of seen as like, your thing because people don't feel good about it. But you're out there every day. I mean, you're pulling millions of pounds of fish out of this thing over the year, you know?
Wow.
Within a year and a half, again, then you're worth an obscene amount of money, millions of dollars, right? You're making money hand over fist. The fish haven't stopped coming.
Yeah.
One night you go to bed, smile on your face. You look forward to another day.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. As
Good feeling.
you fall asleep to the television, right? You hear reports of economic distress as the cost of goods are on the rise, you know?
Yeah.
And local businesses are shuttering and employees are no longer having jobs. And it's kind of a doomsday thing, but like things are going really fucking good for you, you know? You fall asleep. You have this dream, you're out on your boat. Betty Lou, that's who. The serene mirror lake. It's the dead of night. It's expansive to the point that you can barely see out the shoreline. You can barely see the shoreline in the distance. You hear bugs. You hear a frog croak. It's a very still nature, but it's very vibrant if you take time to listen. It's like your favorite thing about being out on that fucking boat.
Yeah, okay.
You just stop moving for you've been in the same spot for so long that there's no ripples. You're just sitting there. It feels like you're one with everything around you. It's
Wow.
a full moon blowing off the lake.
That's cool.
You look up at it. You turn around. And sitting in the boat are three men.
What?
Sitting in the boat are three men. One of them, it's like a classic pirate, long black hair, bandana, like a Captain Hook type of pirate. He's got silver hair.
Okay.
There's another man who looks to be a little bit more regal in stature, nicer clothes, like a clearly a military uniform, a big letter D on its cap.
Okay.
And lastly, there was a tan weathered man wearing a yellow slicker who'd seen more sunrises in 1 year than you will in a fucking lifetime. He's always smoking a cigarette, and that cigarette is drenched. You have no idea how it's still lit.
Oh, wow. These guys are striking.
Yeah. The man in the middle, he kind of locks eyes with you, and he speaks in like a, again, a formal military. That's like his background, you can tell. He's probably a little terse, you might say.
Okay.
He says, "Pat, get your nets out of the fucking water."
What?
He says, "Get your nets out of the fucking water. Take them out of there." He goes, "You don't know what you're fucking with."
Who are you? What are you doing
He
in
goes,
that
"I'm
boat?
Captain D." That's
Okay.
who.
Captain D, that's who.
Captain D. He goes, "I thought
Okay.
you'd like that." He's
What
kind of leaning forward. He's in your face, right?
the
The pirate all the way on the left, along with the long silver hair, pulls a small knife out of his boot. He starts trimming his fingernails. He crosses one leg over the other. And he leans forward and he says, "Just take your fucking nets out of the water."
What is going on? Is what I say. I go, who are
The
you
guy in the
guys?
slicker, takes a big drag off his cigarette and through a wall of smoke. Again, this cigarette is soaking wet. It's like he's right off the boat. You have no idea how this cherry on. He blows this huge smoke cloud to you. And he says, "Long John Silver down there is right." He says, "You got to take your nets out of the hole, son."
Why?
Captain D looks at you and he says, "You're cornering the market, kid.
Who the fuck
Fish is
are
too
you?
expensive now." He says, "I'm Captain D.
I know
This is
that,
Long
but
John Silver, and this is Scott Gorton." And then he says, "It may not be a captain, but I was in Nam."
Scott Gorton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I go.
He's got
Okay.
a
So.
naked lady tattooed on his forearm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's one of these
Yeah.
guys. Okay. I guess I go. All right, guys. Like, let's talk about this. There's no need to, let's be gentlemen about this.
So, Long John Silver, cutting his fingernails. He says, "There's nothing to talk about. Take your fucking nets out of the water."
At this point, I just pull him out. I whatever I have to do to get out of this.
Well, you're in a dream, so you're like talking to these guys, right? Do you say anything to him?
I think I just go, "I don't want any trouble." I say that to them.
The Gordon's guy blows fucking smoke in your face, right? Again, through just the wettest cigarette. It's like he dipped it like it was a crumpet, like he's just gonna
Yeah.
dunk it in tea. It's so wet. And that fucking it doesn't go out. He looks at you and he says, "You don't get those nets out of the water, there's gonna be big fucking problems."
Okay.
You hear a gunshot. And you kind of like look the other way. When you look back, they're gone. And carved into the seat opposite you says, "Big fucking problems." And then it said, like they signed it. That's how the Friends of the Sea. That's what they call themselves.
Friends of the sea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Captain D, Long John Silver, and Scott Gordon.
All
Noted
right.
fisherman.
So this
So you
is, I
wake up the
guess,
next day,
yeah, I
kind of in a
wake up
cold
and
sweat.
I'm kind of freaked out. I probably let me ask you something. Am I
Yeah.
like involved with anyone romantically or anything like that at
You
this
know,
point?
people come and go, but they don't stick around,
Okay. I mean, yeah. All right. So
Sure,
just hanged
there's
out.
yeah, there's people in and out of your life.
So is there anyone I could talk to about this dream? Because that would freak me the fuck out.
You have a friend who is like really into that shit. Like as far as like hidden meanings and stuff, So you wake up then that next morning, right? You get out of bed. It's a Monday morning. Everybody's got to go to work. You're getting ready to send out a text to everybody. Says, "Good morning." What do you tell them? You tell them, same business as usual. Nets at the hole, baby.
No, I tell him to take the day off.
Everybody's like, "Oh, thanks, boss. Everything okay?"
Yeah, we're good.
One guy
Just,
texts in, "I fucking hate this guy." And then he says, "Oh shit, that wasn't for this."
I just ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah, you ignore it.
I just go, whatever.
So everybody's like, "What's the deal? Is everything okay?
Everything's good.
See you
Just
tomorrow."
yeah. See you tomorrow.
So the next day, you know,
Yeah,
the rest of that
I
day,
think
you
I
just
just
kind
think
of
about it. Yeah.
you think about it, and you know, you can see the benefits of both, and
Because I could just retire. I mean, like, how rich am I? Pretty freaking rich, right?
yeah, but all your money's in the business.
Okay.
Everything's in the business. You'd have to sell it, which means you'd be selling out, you know, all the people you
Selling
work
out.
with, and they might be,
Okay.
you know, friends, and you've worked hard to build this business. And again, you just love being out on that fucking water all day.
I guess it was just a dream. Yeah, the next day we go back to business as usual.
You're driving out there, right, in your truck. You pass a Captain D's restaurant. The sign out front says, "Don't do it, asshole."
Says what?
Says, "Don't do it, asshole." You pass along John Silver's and it just says, "I will fucking kill you."
I pull over
You get out to Kelly Lake.
I pull into that fucking Long John Silver's.
There's a line, dude. You're not getting in there for at least 15 minutes.
There's a
You're gonna
sign
be.
that says, "I'm gonna fucking kill you."
It says, "I will fucking kill you."
I walk in and I demand to talk to a manager.
Manager comes out. He's 22. First serious girlfriend. They've been together for 3 months. She's cheating on him. They're pregnant. It's not good. It's not gonna end well.
All right. Wow. Okay. I go,
He
"Hi."
walks out and he goes, "Hey, what's up?"
I go, "Hey, why is there a sign that says I'm gonna fucking kill you outside?"
He goes, "What are you talking about?"
I go, "Come outside. The sign is like threatening me, I think."
It's you go out there and it says fish and chips, $5.99. And the guy's like, "Dude, I have a baby on the way. Can I get back to work?" He just turns
Sorry,
around
yeah.
and walks inside.
All right, sorry, man. I don't
So you get
know.
to Kelly Lake, right? What do you do?
I just kind of sit there for a second.
You look at the vortex and you look down. Black.
I
The
throw out
rest of
my
your
net.
crew is in the boats,
I
just
throw the
waiting for
net
your
out.
go ahead.
I go, "Let's do it, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, let's fish."
You say, "Another day at the money mine." And everybody throws their nets in. And by this point, they're huge nets, right? I mean, that's you've maximized this opportunity. And with the first splash of that net, when it hits the pond, you have like a pang of guilt.
Yeah,
You know, you're like, did I
I can
make
see
the right
that.
decision?
Yeah.
And then they started pulling them out, nets full. So you have the best year of your life. You're able to start taking money out of the business. It changes everything for you. You buy a nice house. You meet a beautiful woman. Her name is Valerie Skunk, and she is really fantastic and
All
excites you
right.
in all the right ways. And you guys have a quick romance that leads to a passionate marriage.
Wow. A
You
passionate
can
marriage.
afford anything you want, anything you need. You have everything.
Wow.
And at this
Okay.
point, the business runs enough that you can just kind of step back and you can just be the head of it. And you can just double check and make sure everything's going as well as
Sure.
you want.
But I'm
But then
not
that's
working
it.
nearly as hard as it was at the beginning of
No.
the business. Okay. Cool, man. That's
You
really cool,
spend a lot of your
actually.
days out on Betty Lou, that too. Just fishing in little honey holes around the area. Couple years go by. You know, climate change is pretty bad, right? The average temperature on Earth keeps going up. It's always getting hotter. It's always getting worse, you know? So you're definitely feeling it's in the summertime, you know, out in Texas. A lot of heat. I know this is back in Virginia. So you're
Right.
in Virginia, which is still like coastal humidity, you know, and you're
It
on a
gets hot.
fucking,
Yeah, it definitely gets hot.
you're on a body of water. You're out
That's right.
there, you have
Kelly
like
Park.
a, you're at Kelly Park, you have like a modular office that you're like kind of posted up in out there all the time, you know, but it's on a trailer, so nobody can say shit to you about it. A lot of times you'll just like walk out and you'll stand there with a fuck a cup of coffee in your hands that says fuck off on it. Because there are
What?
people who like protest you being there, but you're just like, no, dude, this is mine.
Okay.
So over the next year, you pull in more fish than you thought humanly possible. The Earth's temperature increased in a magnitude that made life kind of like uninhabitable in this, or like moving in that direction, you know? It's the
What?
hottest year on record. Yeah. And this is after you pulled out more fish than you ever have. And it's like just been a brutal summer. And you're just, I mean, you're talking it's like 110 degrees, you know, on like a somewhat regular basis.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you're just having like, it's just brutal and it's awful. And it's so much worse than it was the year before. You can't imagine how next year is going to get any worse. And you lie in bed one night after you got this fat fucking check, the biggest check you've ever had in your whole fucking life, for
Okay.
killing, for sucking more fish out of the water than anybody and killing them all and feeding the masses. You've driven all of your competitors out of business. You can name your price at this point. There's nobody putting out the kind of fish that Pat Dean Fisheries is putting out.
Wow.
You get that big fucking check. You turn your AC down real low. You try to go to sleep. You have another dream. You're out on that placid lake again, the full moon. And the friends of the sea show up across from you. Captain D says, "You motherfucker." You see his hat kind of shake a little bit.
Yeah.
He's beet red. Long John Silver has that knife, the long thin knife, a narrow knife. It's out of his boot, and you can see the moon glinting off of its edge. And he's like, "The things I want to do to you right now. You ruined everything."
Yeah.
Scott Gordon, with a sloppy, wet cigarette, somehow lit by the powers of God. You can tell he's got water from Puget Sound dripping off of his slicker. He takes a big pull off of that cigarette, and he says he's weeping. You can tell that this isn't water, like these are tears. And he says, "The greed of man knows no bounds." He takes one more drag off the cigarette, and then he puts it out on your forearm.
Oh.
And you wake up. You wake up to your phone ringing, and it's one of your employees. And they're like, "Hey, boss, you got to come down here. You got to get here. There's all kinds of people here. They're demanding, they want to talk to somebody in charge. Like, you need to get down here."
Okay.
So you get in your fucking car, you haul ass down there. You don't even recognize the cigarette burn on your forearm as you drive.
What?
You pull up to just vans and like news people and you know, just cable everybody, you know, just all these people. You get out of your truck, you're like, "What's going on?" Right? Like, what's happening? And you kind of like you walk up and you're like, "What the fuck? What are you guys doing here?" And they're like, "We were told that you ruined everything." And they're like, "Pat, why would you do this? You were warned." And you look down at that moment and you see just like steam start pouring out of the vortex, right? Just melting anything plastic in its path, right? And you're standing there and you're watching this like plume of steam just sort of go up into the sky, and it starts to fall on you, and you look up and you think, "Oh my God," right? And you're standing there watching this water that's been heated to thousands of degrees, and you know, you think it would all be gone, but it pours down on you and it burns you alive. You're standing
Oh.
underneath this plume of steam and it burns you alive. And
Oh
what happened was
man.
there's like a pipeline that cools off the center of the earth from this vortex, and it's usually clogged up with fish. So like the water never like reaches all the way down. There's too many dead fish and too many fish there. But you fished them all out, and now the water is able to leak onto the core of the earth, and it just steams everybody alive. The outermost layer of the earth falls off, gets shed into space, and everybody existence just gets totally wiped out. You cause the earth to basically steam itself from the inside. You overfish the vortex because you're fucking greedy. You had everything. All you wanted was to be out on that boat. You had everything, and you were told.
Well, it was just a vortex. I don't think anything would happen.
Yeah, but the
Fuck.
friends of the sea told you.
Okay, but they're not real. They're
They were, you could go to a Captain D's right now.
illustrations,
You
or
could
they're
go
fucking.
buy
They're not
Gordon's
real.
fish sticks right now.
I know, but
Long
they've
John
met.
Silver's is a real place.
I know, but they're not people.
Yeah, you should have fucking listened to him. Instead, you steamed the outer layer of the earth off because you took all the fish out of the
Fuck.
pipeline.
Yeah, I guess I fucked up.
You fucking greedy bitch.